So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vasni Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Brahad Bhagavatamrit. So today is the 9th session of book 2. So thank you so much Mataji for your valuable association and time for all of us. Thank you so much Mataji. Now I would like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, I think you are on mute. Thank you. So Hare Krishna, thank you Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, thanks to all the devotees who joined today. We are reading from Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita and this is book 2, the story of Gopa Kumar, and today is session 9. So we'll start with a prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते राधानाथस्वामिन् इति नाम्ने नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा. So in our previous session, we stopped at a point where our hero Gopa Kumar was in Tapaloka. He was almost there at the topmost planetary system. He just had one more planetary system to cover. So he was in the last but one planetary system, which is the Tapaloka. And there during his stay in Tapaloka, he heard from the sage Pippalayana about the glories of meditation and how by meditating the Lord within one's heart, one can realize the Lord and see Him, see the Lord within his heart. So when he heard all this from the sage, Gopa Kumar, he thought that meditation was too much for him. He was not really convinced because he was thinking, wow, that's a lot. And he began hankering to go back to earth and associate with Lord Jagannath or maybe even Lord Naranarayan, as Pippalayana Rishi was describing the glories of Naranarayan. But then what happened was the Kumaras, with their mystic perfection and Tapaloka, they started transforming themselves into different forms of the Lord. And seeing all this, Gopa Kumar became very overwhelmed. He didn't understand anything and he started apologizing to them thinking that he had offended him. So that's where we stopped. Then we saw that the Kumaras, very mercifully, they touched the head of Gopa Kumar, and because of the merciful touch of the Kumaras, Gopa Kumar attained a meditative trance. And there in his vision, in his meditation, he saw directly various forms of the Lord. And even after he got up from his meditation, by the momentum of his trance that he was in, he would sometimes behold the Lord as if the Lord is right next to him. He would see different forms of the Lord. So Gopa Kumar, he just needed this additional blessing from the Kumaras. He just needed the touch of their hand to actually see the ultimate fruit of samadhi. So the pinnacle of meditation ends in samadhi, and the ultimate fruit of samadhi is to see the Lord within the heart. So the touch of the Kumaras was required for that. This happened, we see that what happened after that was that because of the concentration of the mind he had developed by the practice of meditation, his attachment to chanting the holy names, actually improved. Because when you practice the art of meditation, your mind comes under control. So when your mind is under control, when you chant, you can chant with better concentration. So this is exactly what happened to Gopakumar. Because he started practicing meditation so nicely, he developed an art by which he could control the mind, and hence he could concentrate on the names that he was chanting, and he developed a taste for his japa. In the sense, his japa improved greatly in quality and it became more joyful to him. But then, still again, there was a problem. Because the more he would focus on his japa, the more, because of the effect of the mantra, his mind would get attracted again to the land of Braja, because this mantra was for Madan Gopal. So he would immediately get attracted to the land of Raja. So sometimes when Gopakumar meditated and he went to Samadhi, other problems were also there. Sometimes when he went to Samadhi, all his external and mental functions, they stopped, and he would enter into a state of deep sleep or void state all night. So see, there are different levels. Sometimes when he was meditating, he would just fall into samadhi. He would just fall into a deep void state without actually having the vision of the Lord. That would also happen sometimes. And when he did this, when he would fall into a deep state of samadhi, he would just sleep off. And because of his sleep, deep sleep, he would actually lose a lot of precious time. And when he would lose time like this, Gopakumar would feel very guilty for not chanting his mantra. So he even missed sometimes seeing the Lord's forms during his meditation. So this went on, you know, sometimes he would be in samadhi, in a state of void. Sometimes after reaching samadhi, he would get the vision of the Lord. Sometimes he would just, you know, chant so nicely that he would start missing Brajabhumi. So all these emotions were going on, and Gopakumar was in, he began to lament a lot. He was thinking, what is all this that is happening to me? You know, sometimes he would hanker so much to go to Nilachal Dham, and then all the residents of Tapaloka, they would console him. In fact, sometimes they would even praise Gopakumar, because they would say, oh, Gopakumar, you're so wonderful. Why are you thinking of leaving us? You're so great. You've attained the state of samadhi so quickly. You're such a wonderful devotee. You better stay with us. So, however, when the residents of Tapaloka would console him like this, Gopakumar, it would be even more painful for him, because he just couldn't understand why everyone was praising him like that. He thought all this, you know, falling into samadhi and all that was only a disturbance for him. So when these residents of Tapaloka went on praising him, it was more and more painful to him. It was not happy. He felt more and more painful. So like this, Gopakumar, he would see sometimes the Lord around him. Sometimes he would see Sanakadi, you know, all these Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar transforming themselves into the different forms of the Lord. Sometimes he himself would fall into Samadhi and remain there. And sometimes he would just chant and think about Vrajabhumi. So all this was happening to him. However, though they were unhappy moments and though they were moments of anxiety, still, overall, most of the time in Tapaloka, Gopakumar was relatively happy. He was probably happier than any other place he had been in Tapaloka. There was a lot of happiness for him. But then, one fine day, the four-headed Brahma of this universe came to Tapaloka. So this was the transforming point in Tapaloka. Brahma was on his way to Pushkar Dweep. Okay, now we'll get into details about Pushkar Dweep in a minute. So anyhow, this Brahma was traveling to Pushkar Dweep, and on the way, he stopped at Tapaloka to see his sons, who are the Kumaras. Now, this Pushkar Dweep is there in the region of the Bhumandala. So we were talking about the 14 planetary systems. We were talking about the upper planetary systems that begin with Bhu, Bhuvar, Swarga, Maha, Jana, Tapa, and then Satya. Now in this Bhu Mandala that is there, there are several planetary planets and, you know, there are several islands and several planets. We are in Jambudweep within the Bhu Mandala, within this plate of Bhu Mandala, we are in Jambudweep. But there are other dvipas also. If you study the geography of Bhumandala, there are other dvipas like Plakshadvipa, Shalmadvipa, Kushadvipa, Kraunchadvipa, Shakadvipa, and the last one is called as the Pushkar Dvipa. Okay, all these islands are separated by different kinds of oceans. You might have heard all this in Bhagavatam. Each of these islands are separated by oceans of salt water, sugarcane juice, ghee, wine, yogurt, milk. Like that, they are all separated. And the outermost ring, the outermost of the Bhumandala, the outermost planetary system there, or rather the planet there, is called as Pushkaradvipa. Okay, so this Pushkaradvipa, the presiding deity over Pushkaradvipa is Lord Brahma. There is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from Bhagavatam 5:20:29. Outside the ocean of yogurt is another island known as Pushkaradvipa, which is 6,400,000 yojanas wide, twice as wide as the ocean of yogurt. It is surrounded by an ocean of very tasteful water as broad as the island itself. On Pushkaradweep, there is a great lotus flower with 100 million golden petals as effulgent as the flames of fire. That lotus flower is considered the sitting place of Lord Brahma, who is the most powerful living entity and who is therefore sometimes celebrated there as Bhagavan. So we see that Brahma does not only reside in Tapaloka, but he also has one of his residences in Pushkaradweep. So this Brahma was traveling to his way to Pushkaradweep, to one of his other residences. So from Satyaloka, Brahma was on his onward journey towards Pushkaradweep, and he stopped on the way at Tapaloka, which is below Satyaloka. Okay, so you can imagine. Then this great respectful personality, Brahma, appeared in Tapaloka. All the Kumaras and everyone else there, they just got up and immediately offered their respectful obeisances to him. And Brahma, just like a very, very loving father, he blessed his sons very affectionately and he smelled their heads with a lot of love. Then he gave a lot of instructions to his sons who were there in Tapaloka. And then he continued on to Pushkaradweep. So when Gopakumar saw this most unique and effulgent personality with four heads, he had never seen anyone like that. So when Gopakumar saw this personality, and this personality was looking so respectable, he asked the Kumaras who they were. Who is that person? He looks so different, and at the same time, everyone respects him. He looks so respectable. So when Gopakumar asked this question, the Kumara started laughing and they said, "Hey, cowherd boy, even after coming to Tapaloka, you don't know who this is? This is our great lord. He is the lord of all beings. He is the grandfather of all the living entities and he is our own father. He is also the father of the Prajapatis and he sits on the highest seat of authority. He is Swayambhu and he is born from a lotus. He maintains, he guides the entire created world and the planet in which he resides is called as Satyaloka and this Satyaloka stands above all other planetary systems of this universe. It is the topmost planet of this entire creation. Only those who have performed their prescribed duties for more than 100 lifetimes perfectly can actually attain Satyaloka." Now comes the most important part of the information. The Kumara said, within the planet of Brahma, there is actually a Vaikuntha planet where the thousand-headed divine form of the Lord Jagadisha, who is known as Mahapurusha, resides. So Lord Mahapurusha resides in Satyaloka and he graces his devotees in Satyaloka. Though Brahma is said to be only the son of the Supreme Lord, according to us, he is our father and he is very much like the Supreme Lord because he shares many qualities of Lord Mahapurusha who is always present on his planet. So when Gopakumar heard this exciting news that the Lord is there present as Mahapurusha in Satyaloka, he became very, very happy. So he wanted to go there to see the Lord. He was not so much into meditation. So most of the time he was very happy. He did relish the fruit of meditation. He did see different forms of the Lord, But his mind was always getting deviated very fast. Sometimes he would miss the land of Vraja because of his chanting. Sometimes he would just fall into samadhi. There was a lot of confusion in his heart. Now when he heard about Satyaloka, now when he heard about Brahma and Mahapurusha, our Gopakumar got very, very excited. So he wanted to go and see that Lord Mahapurusha. So seated on Tapuloka, with a very focused mind, he started chanting his mantra, and after a moment, as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw that he had actually reached Brahmaloka. Now, to go from Tapaloka to Brahmaloka, Gopakumar didn't wait for an airplane. So far, we saw that, you know, there was an airplane that came and took him away and all that. But here in Tapaloka, which is a land of mystic perfections, Gopakumar didn't even need an airplane. He just thought about the Lord, about going to Tapaloka. Going to Satyaloka, he chanted his mantra, and within a moment, he was there in Satyaloka when he opened his eyes. So when he opened his eyes in Satyaloka, there he saw the Lord of the universe with thousands of arms and thousands of heads and feet, and he resembled a dark blue cloud. He was decorated with very beautiful ornaments. He was looking so brilliant. He was so effulgent. And his navel was like a beautiful lotus, and he was sleeping right beneath Ananta Sesh. Just seeing him enchanted everyone's hearts and minds. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, was massaging his feet. He glanced at Garuda, who was by his side, and Narada was also present there. Narada was offering beautiful prayers, and Brahma was reciprocating very sweetly with the Lord, and the Lord was showering his personal blessings on Lord Brahma, who was there in Satyaloka. So after the Lord received all this wonderful worship from everyone, both the Lord and Brahma, they proceeded on to a splendid palace, and Brahma took a seat next to the Lord. So Gopakumar was witnessing all this. It was looking so wonderful. And in that intimate session, where only Brahma and Mahapurusha were present, Mahapurusha, he spoke directly into the ears of Brahma about the path of pure devotion. And Brahma was listening to all this nectar from his Supreme Lord, and he was so appreciative of what he was directly hearing from the Lord. And Lord Brahma was very attentively listening to the Lord, and he was nodding his head, and he was diligently repeating whatever he had heard from the Lord, and he was trying to see if he understood what the Lord was teaching him. So when the lesson was over, Brahma profusely thanked the Lord. He joined his palms, he paid respects to his Lord, and he was feeling very grateful. So seeing this beautiful vision, beautiful it was looking, Mahapurusha was talking to Brahma. It was a very intimate setting. He was receiving first-hand information from his father. Brahma was receiving information from his father, who's Mahapurusha. So all this was going on. Then Gopakumar saw all this beautiful, beautiful sight. By the force of ecstasy, he fell into a swoon. He just fainted there. And Goddess Lakshmi Devi, who was sitting by the side of the Lord, noticed this young cowherd boy fainting in ecstasy. So as the mother of the universe, she felt so sad to see a little boy falling like that. She went running and she lifted him up with her own hands. She sprinkled some cooling water on him and she brought him out of that swoon. And carefully, she took him to the side of her Lord, the Supreme Lord Mahapurusha. There he was. Gopakumar was right next to the Lord. And he was so stunned. He was gazing at the beauty of the Lord. And he was telling himself, he was just preaching to himself. He was telling his own mind. Gopakumar was telling his mind, today you have finally attained the fulfillment of all your desires. Now you better be steady, be joyful. This is the ultimate abode one can get to. I have reached Satyaloka. This abode is free from all sorrow, fear and pain. This Satyaloka is worshipped by the entire world. It is filled with all the opulence and bliss. Everything in this planet of Satyaloka shines forth with all perfection and all opulences. And there is no place in the material creation that can be so beautiful as Satyaloka. He told himself, "You have personally fed the affection of Lakshmi. What a great fortune. She has personally reciprocated with you, and now you are sitting next to the Lord himself. He is Jagadisha. This is it. You have attained everything. Now give up your thoughts of going anywhere and just forget about going back to the cow pastures of Vrajabhumi." So he was preaching to himself like that. He was telling, if you want to be pampered just like Brahma, you want to be pampered personally by the Lord, then you can also do that. You can also get that by chanting the mantra. If you chant the mantra seriously, you can even become as close as what Brahma is to Mahapurusha. So like this, Gopakumar was profusely preaching to his mind while he was sitting there next to Lord Mahapurusha. He didn't want his mind to get diverted again like how it was happening in the previous lokas. So all this while, during his stay in the other planet, someone had to tell him, please stay here, this is a wonderful place, this is it, you know, this is the best place you can be, don't go back to Earth. There was someone or the other who was trying to preach him about this. But here, Gopakumar, in Satyaloka, what happened was, he was preaching to himself, don't leave this place, just forget about everything, because it appeared to be the final destination for Gopakumar. There is nothing else more in this universe. So it appeared to be the final destination. And he thought, yes, it is all done. But then we'll see what happened further. So though Mahapurusha, you know, this Lord, he's the transcendental Lord and he never ever sleeps, still the Lord enjoys pastimes of pretending to sleep. So sometimes the Lord likes to go to sleep. So the Lord was ready to perform his pastime of Nidra Leela. So he called Lord Brahma and he said he wanted to sleep. And Lord Brahma very respectfully decided to step out because he also realized that it was time for him to get back to work on the creation of the universe. So he had to leave to get to work. Now before leaving from there, while sitting on his lotus, Brahma could actually see the blueprint of creating the universe inside his lotus. So he quickly gazed at the lotus, he studied the blueprint of how to create the universe and he went out to discharge his responsibility. So he got down from the lotus and he left Mahapurusha's personal residence and he went on to perform his activities. Now this Mahapurusha is actually non-different from Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Yeah? Because, you understand, right? Garbhodakshayi Vishnu's navel... From the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Brahma appears. The same Garbhodakshayi Vishnu was present as his father, Mahapurusha, in the Satyaloka. So they are non-different. Okay? So remember that point and we will discuss this further. So anyhow, Gopakumar, he got to witness all of this. He was seeing all this. He was seeing the intimate interaction between Mahapurusha and Brahma, how Brahma was studying the blueprint within his lotus and going back to work. And days passed like this. Gopakumar was feeling so happy. He was so happy. He was happier than what he was in Maharloka or Tapaloka or Swargaloka or wherever. He was extremely happy witnessing all these sweet, sweet pastimes that were going on in Satyaloka. However, during the dark of night, at the end of the day of Brahma, when his night began, the three worlds, remember in our previous sessions, we were talking about the three worlds getting destroyed, Bhu, Bhuvar and Swargaloka. So Bhu, Bhuvar and Swargaloka, they were getting destroyed and the whole thing becomes a single ocean. And Lord Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who is non-different from Mahapurusha, during the night of Brahma, he lies very comfortably on Seshanag along with Brahma. Okay, Brahma and Garbhodakshayi Vishnu or Mahapurusha, they go to sleep together. So Brahma gets to sleep along with Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And during the night time, what happens is these great sages from the lower planets, like Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, from there, they pay a visit to Satyaloka just to see the Lord and Brahma together. And they recite beautiful prayers to Lord Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who's taking rest there. So Gopakumar was also amidst all these sages enjoying this beautiful vision. And from Gopakumar's previous experiences he had in Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka, he was thinking during the night of Brahma, it was not all that great, because between he had to shuttle between Maha and Janalokas, remember? So during the night of Brahma, so it was not a very happy event. But he was thinking in Satyaloka, it is also wonderful. Everyone has come here, and every day there is, stuti of the Lord. Everyone is glorifying the Lord. He could associate with all these sages. He could see the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. He was extremely happy. He was thinking that there can be nothing more pleasant than this. So Gopakumar was seeing, this beauty of the Lord, and he was extremely happy in Satyaloka. However, sometimes the Lord, he would disappear from his quarters, and this would make Gopakumar very, very sad. But the minute the Lord appeared again there in that place, it would make him happy. So like this, days passed by. It so happened that one fine day, early in the morning, the Brahma there, out of curiosity, he touched a mass of foam that comes from water, bubbles, foam. So he touched a mass of foam, and that foam turned into a demon. Now this foam was the leftover residue from the waters of the previous devastation. So during the night of Brahma, what happens? Three planetary systems, they get destroyed, right? And there are huge waters of devastation that is there everywhere. Some water had splashed on top and there was foam remaining, okay? Brahma, out of curiosity, he touched that foam. This foam, because it had the potency of devastation, it turned into a demon. And Brahma got so scared looking at this demon. This demon was so fearful, and Brahma didn't know what to do, and he started running away in fear. And he never returned, actually. At that point, he didn't return. He just ran away in fear. Though the Lord actually killed the demon, still Brahma didn't return for a long time. Okay. Now, let's connect back to Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 6th canto where the pastime of Ritrasura is described. So you must all be aware of this demon by the name Ritrasura. And after he was killed, actually Indra, he suffered, sin personified was chasing him. We were seeing this even in our previous sessions. So sin personified was chasing him. And the sins that Indra had was actually later shared by many of them. So apparently water also took up a part of the sins. Okay. So let's read that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's interesting. This is 6, 9, 10. Canto 6, chapter 9, verse number 10, translation and purport. And in return for King Indra's benediction that water would increase the volume of all other substances with which it was mixed, water accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions that Indra had to suffer. Therefore, there are bubbles and foam in water. When one collects water, these should be avoided. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, if water is mixed with milk, fruit juice, or any other such substances, it increases their volume. And no one can understand which one has increased, right? No one can understand which one has increased. In return for this benediction, water accepted 1/4 of Indra's sinful reactions. These sinful reactions are visible in foam and bubbles. Therefore, one should avoid foam and bubbles while collecting drinking water. Prabhupada, he says in his morning walk, June 22, 1976, in New Vrindavan, he says, if there is no foam, that means it is nice water. Foam means that is sinful water. So basically, foam represents sin. And here, foam took the form of a demon because it is sinful. Okay, so therefore, when Brahma touched this foam from the water of devastation, seeing that foam demon, Brahma fled and he didn't come back in fear. Okay, at that time, they needed a Brahma immediately. And by the power of the mantra he was chanting, and because of the desire he constantly had in his mind to associate with Mahapurusha in a very personal manner, Lord Mahapurusha assigned the post of Brahma to Gopakumar. So when Gopakumar became Brahma, he brought about all the advanced Vaishnavas to occupy great posts, like all the demigod posts like Surya, Chandra, Prajapatis, and all the other demigods became great Vaishnavas. Not only that, he sent out so many Vaishnavas all around the world to preach the glories of the Lord. He arranged for the opulent worship of the Lord in all directions, and he made everyone perform great Ashwamedha sacrifices for the glorification of the Lord. The entire universe was so happy and flooded with joy. This is what Gopakumar did whenever he got the post of a king, right? Even in the previous sessions we saw, wherever he was a king, wherever he took the post of Indra or whatever post he had, he always made sure that the everyone under him was very, very Krishna conscious. So like that, now he had become the new Lord Brahma. And Brahma is responsible for creating the world. He is responsible for creating the bodies of all the species of life. And he is responsible for teaching the proper work to people according to the injunctions of the Vedas. So therefore, Gopakumar, very, very enthusiastically, he promoted all these sacrifices for the pleasure of the Lord. And being Brahma, being the greatest controller of this universe, he was obviously all the time glorified by all the sages. Now, this is a problem, okay? This is a problem that happens to people who are in great posts. Brahma is not any ordinary post. It's a very, very, very high post. So obviously, because of his post, because of the authority, because of the position he was in, he was constantly glorified. So he was constantly glorified by the sages. He was glorified by the personified Vedas. He was glorified by the Agamas, Puranas, Itihasa, sacrifice, personality who represents sacrifices, the personifications of pilgrimage sites, everybody. They would all go, they would offer prayers to Brahma, constantly glorify him. However, Brahma, he never gave up his simplicity. Gopakumar, who was Brahma, never gave up his simplicity. It is very easy to get intoxicated with pride due to the material facility or the material power or glorification that one can receive. So only if one has a very strong spiritual qualification of humility, the strongest spiritual qualification is actually genuine humility. Unless one develops genuine humility, it is very difficult to control pride. So imagine this post of Brahma, it is not easy. It is the highest post in the universe, and everyone is at your disposal. All the facilities are available there, and everyone is working for you. Technically, everyone in the universe is actually working for Brahma in terms of creation, in terms of the responsibility that he has for creation. So it's a big post, and pride is only natural, right? If you're constantly glorified, it just automatically manifests. We often hear about personalities like Indra, Brahma, and all these great personalities. Why do they commit offenses? We read about it again and again. We read, you know, in scripture again and again, especially Indra, we read so much. Oh, he committed this offense, that offense. And then we read sometimes even about Brahma. Why do they commit offenses? The reason is pride is something that is natural that develops in a person who is in high authority. In this world, even when we have a very small post, very, very small post, we think we are so great. And there is so much pride that comes into the heart. We act like we are the Lord of the universe. But here it is Brahma himself who is indeed the Lord of the universe. And it is only natural that he wouldn't develop, he would develop pride. So it's something very natural. However, developing pride is not a great qualification. In fact, the Brahma, the current Brahma, not Gopakumar, but the current Brahma, he had this realization at one point in time. When he offended Krishna during the Brahma Vimohan Leela, there's a beautiful verse he said, repenting for what he did. You know, it's very nice. I'll just read that. This is from Canto 10, Chapter 14, verse number 11. Brahma said, "What am I, a small creature measuring just 7 spans of my own hand?" So a span is, you know, from your, you stretch out your palm like that, from your thumb till your tallest finger, like that. This is a span. So if you count, your body will just be 7 spans. Your face is one span, okay, like that. Your face is one span, and you just do. Everyone can do it for their own bodies. You will see that you're only 7 spans, okay? Every living entity, I mean, every creature of this universe is generally 7 spans, including Brahma. Brahma is very tall and he's very big. According to his measurement of his hand, he's 7 spans. According to the measurement of your hand, you will be 7 spans, okay? So Brahma is saying, he's praying to Krishna after doing the offense. He's repenting and he says, what am I? I'm a small creature measuring just 7 spans of my own hand. I'm enclosed inside the spotlight universe that is composed of material nature. The total material nature of false ego, either air, water and earth. And what is your glory, Krishna? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body just as particles of dust come through the screen of a window. So that is the glory of the Supreme Lord. So all of us, we think we are great, but we are nothing. We just measure 7 spans of our body. And we are inside this thought-like universe, which is nothing but a small speck that is coming out of the pores of the Lord. So where are we? So in reality, everyone including Brahma is actually insignificant in compared to the Lord. Still, pride follows. Pride follows a person who's an authority. So in spite of all this, it is important to remain humble and remember oneself to be the servant of the Lord. And that is actually real character. So humility is very, very rare. It's very rare. And it's a very great virtue. And we all aspire, at least me, I can say for myself, someday we can develop an ounce of humility. It's very hard to develop. It's extremely difficult. It's actually slightly easier to develop humility when we fail. When we fail in something, we are humble, we are prayerful, we are regretful. But during success, if you're humble during success, that reveals a person's character. So before an important event in our life, like, you know, writing exams or giving some presentation, we can be very nervous and at that time we'll be intensely prayerful. However, if the event turns out to be successful, we are never as prayerful as before the event started. And what do we do? We just offer a customary thank you to God and we enjoy the success. It's we say, yes, I dedicate it to you, but that's in words. But then we enjoy the success of our efforts. So there is pride in the heart. It's very difficult to conquer pride. We have that feeling that my hard work and my preparation has been merited with this success. However, it's, you know, just like how we were feeling humble before the event, it is very important for us to not just say it in words, but feel gratitude from our hearts. So there is an incident that is quoted about Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, which I wanted to share. I think many of you might have also heard this, but still I thought it's nice to share at this point. So Radhanath Maharaj, he tells his disciples, I become extremely happy when I hear all of you doing well, but I also fear that pride may enter the heart and just spoil everything. Once one of his students gave a series of excellent talks in Mumbai on spiritual science, and thousands attained daily. The news of the glory of a student reached Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who was in America at that time, and he promptly wrote a letter to a student thanking him for the nice service he did and congratulating him for his success. And then at the end of the letter, he cautioned him. He told him, please be humble. Now, hear to this carefully. I think this is a very striking sentence. He said, souls greater than both you and me have fallen away from spiritual life due to arrogance and pride. Carefully guard against pride by cultivating humility and never think yourself to be better than the most menial servant who washes pots in the temple. So there are very great personalities we read in scripture. Very, very great. They are probably some wonderful, wonderful devotees. We do read about them. But then arrogance and pride, somehow it creeps in and it just spoils everything. So one has to be very careful. We are very insignificant when compared to great devotees. He writes again, whether success or failure, we should be humble and make this honest confession to God. My dear Lord, I was nothing, I am nothing, I will be nothing, but you are everything. Just wanted to share that. Similarly, Gopakumar, he just considered himself, to be a humble devotee of Lord Jagadisha and nothing more. He had the right attitude when he was there in the post of Brahma. Very much like how when he was in the post of Indra, he had the right attitude. We were comparing Gopakumar to the previous cases like Nahusha and the other Indra. So Gopakumar was different when he was in Indra Loka. Similarly, Gopakumar, when he was Brahma, he considered himself truly to be a humble devotee of the Lord, and he didn't want anything else more. However, being Brahma is no easy task. It involves so much hard work and so much responsibility. He is in charge of this entire universe, and there was so much responsibility on Brahma's shoulders, and all his duties were just unavoidable. So now, imagine the duties that Brahma has to perform. They are like the waves of the ocean, non-stop duties. And because he had to do so many duties, this Gopakumar was feeling that he was drowning in these waves of duties and responsibilities, so much so that he couldn't really relish the devotional service that he had to do. Sometimes this happens to everyone. When you have too many responsibilities, too many duties, you're non-stop working, sometimes you really don't relish devotional service. So this was happening to Gopakumar when he was in Satyaloka as Brahma. Now there was another problem also. Gopakumar as Brahma, he heard at one point that Brahma dies at the end of two parardhas. So what is this? What is this? So the first 50 years of Brahma is called as the Pratama Parardhe. Okay, Pratama Parardha is the first 50 years of Brahma. The second 50 years of Brahma is called as the Dvitiya Parardhe. So Brahma's life is divided into two sets, first 50 years and second 50 years. So someone told him, at the end of these two parardhas, you will die. Okay, so when he heard this, he got a little scared. So this parardha, you might have all heard of this term. When we do sankalpa, we say adya brahmanah dvitiya parardhe shvetavaraha kalpe vaivasvata manvantre ashtavimshati tite kali yuge pratame pade jambudvipe bharatavarshe bharatakande meroho dakshine pashve. You might have heard these repetitions when someone begins to do sankalpa. They tell at which point of time they are. We are now in the 51st year of Brahma. All of you have heard that several times. So we are in Dvitiya Parardhe. That's why when they do Sankalpa, they say Adya Brahmanaha Dvitiya Parardhe Shvetavaraha Kalpe. Like that they start the Sankalpa mantras. So he heard about this Parardhas, and he heard that he's going to die after two Parardhas, the first 50 and the second 50. And that's when the realization dawned on Brahma that he is not going to live forever in Satyaloka. So because of this, he would often get frightened of death. Now this is interesting. Fear of death is there everywhere, even in Brahma's planet. So Gopakumar was also tormented by this fear of death there in Satyaloka. But Gopakumar was smart enough to take shelter of his mantra. So he would chant his mantra very seriously whenever he thought about this. But, however, when he chanted his mantra, in spite of telling his mind so many times not to think about Vraja, still, because of the potency of the mantra, he would think of Vrindavan automatically. So whenever he would think of Vrindavan, he would again become sad. And seeing his sad face, Lord Mahapurusha himself would come and console him, just like his own son. Mahapurusha would shower so much love, so much affection on him. And at that time, Gopakumar's agitation would get dispelled. Because of being too close to the Lord, and serving him as if the Lord was his own father, sometimes Gopakumar would commit offenses against the Lord. However, whenever he committed small offenses, the Lord, very mercifully, he would tolerate all these offenses. So this happens when we become too familiar with either Guru or the Lord, we are bound to take them for granted and commit offenses. When we are too familiar with the deities we are worshipping, when we are too familiar to our Guru, there is a chance that we commit a lot of offenses. So staying close to a person for an extended period of time can actually be dangerous. And therefore, it is said, familiarity breeds contempt. I think even in today's early morning class, we were hearing that. So when we say it, when we stay too much in proximity to a great devotee, we do take them for granted. And there's an ancient saying that a pandit who belongs to a particular village is never really respected or celebrated in his village. But the minute he steps out and he goes somewhere else and his glories are broadcasted in a village outside his own, that's when everyone really wakes up and they start to claim, oh, that pandit is from my village. So this happens everywhere. When you're too close to a person, you never realize their glories. But when they are far away, you think, oh, he belongs to me. He belongs to my place. So this happens all the time. So all the more, because Gopakumar was very close, you know, to the Lord, there was a lot of danger, not just because he was close, but also because he was always thinking the Lord to be his own father. And he's the son of the Lord. So everyone takes their parents for granted. That is the truth. We all take our parents for granted. We don't think twice before we talk. We just say something. We hurt them. We do all this. That's why actually there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's not get into that. But however, let's see how the parents behave. The parents are always tolerant. The parents are always tolerant. In spite of our million offenses that we make, the parents are always tolerant. But still, they do chastise us. They do chastise us and tell us what is correct and what is wrong. See, now in Bhagavatam, there is a point where Hiranyakashipu was given these boons by Brahma. We all know the story of how Hiranyakashipu had these specific conditions. He said, I should not be killed in earth or sky. I should not be killed at dawn or, in morning or night. Like that, he had so many conditions. At that time, Brahma gave him boons and he said, okay, you can, all these conditions are fulfilled. I give you this boon. But then after Narsingadev appeared in this very terrible form and he killed Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narsingadev, he actually called Brahma and he told him something. So this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7:10:30. Narsingadev was telling him, I'll just read this verse. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Mamaivam vibho asuranam te pradeya padma sambhava varakrurani sarganam ahinam amritam yata. 7:10:30. Lord Narsingadev said, my dear Lord Brahma, O great Lord born from the lotus flower, just as it is dangerous to feed milk to a snake, so it is dangerous to give benedictions to demons who are by nature very ferocious and jealous. I warn you not to give such benedictions to any demon again. Now here is the highlight. What is so great about this verse? You see, Narsingadev is calling Brahma, He Padma Sambhava. Because you are born from the lotus flower that emanates from my navel, don't be too proud. Don't take things for granted. Just because you are my son, always be aware of your actions. Therefore, I warn you not to give such benedictions. So this is again and the purports of Srila Prabhupada. If you read, this is very interesting. I think this is also there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We see that Brahma repents, yes. So in the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we see how Brahma repents for his actions that he had committed earlier. And he quotes this point, this particular stance where the Lord actually called him and warned him, calling him Padma Sambhava. Because you're my son, don't take things for granted. So anyway, Gopakumar would commit small childish offenses, but still a very loving father, Lord Mahapurusha would tolerate all these offenses that Gopakumar was committing. So Krishna always forgives the mistakes done by his dear son Brahma. Again in Bhagavatam, there is another situation where Krishna was forgiving Brahma. So this was during the Brahma Vimohan Leela, and we see this Bhagavatam verse was spoken by Shukadev Goswami. This is verse 10:14:42. I just read that verse and translation. Tato anuknyapya bhagavan swabhuvam प्रागवस्थितान् वत्सान् पुलिनम् आनिन्ये यथा पूर्व सकं स्वकम् 10:14:42. After granting his son Brahma permission to leave, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the calves who were still there and had been a year earlier and brought them to the river bank where he had been taking his meal and where his cowherd boys remained just as before. Purport. The word Swabhuvam to his own son indicates that Lord Krishna forgave the offense of Brahma that Brahma had committed and treated him with affection just as his own son. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writing commentary. He says that Krishna thought in his mind that this is my own son, so I will forgive him. So that was the mood of Krishna at the end of Brahma Vimohan Leela. So similarly, Mahapurusha was very, very loving towards Gopakumar. And however, Gopakumar, realizing that he was not serving with the proper attitude, because Gopakumar would sometimes take the Lord for granted, and when he would do this, he would repent for it, and he would have this realization that he was not really doing proper service to the Lord, and this disturbed Gopakumar often. And he would become embarrassed. And when he would become embarrassed and when he would become very, very sad, at that time, Mother Lakshmi, who is the most loving mother, who pampers her children, who never likes to see mistakes in her children, who is always recommending the glories of her children and always recommending the kids to be accepted by the Lord, she would step forward and she would console him. She would say, "It's all right, my child, it happens," and she would take care of him very lovingly. So like this, he had a beautiful relationship with Mahapurusha and Goddess Lakshmi Devi as his parents, and he was living very, very happily in Satyaloka, even when he would get distressed now and then. However, the story didn't end there. One fine day, Gopakumar, he heard something very interesting. Some sages were visiting Satyaloka, and two sages were talking about a person who had attained moksha living in Bharatavarsha. Not only were they describing the good fortune of that person, but also they were praising the process of devotional service by which he actually got liberated. So when Gopakumar heard about this word liberation, moksha, he got very interested, because people in Satyaloka are discussing about the glory of a person who has attained this rare thing. What is it? What is moksha? He got very interested and he began to ask them, "Tell me about this liberation. Tell me how it can be attained." Now, this question was asked in front of all the personified Upanishads, Shrutis and Smritis. Okay, so now we will see what happened. What are the answers they gave? There was actually a big fight that was going to happen between all the personified Vedas. So we will enjoy their arguments and their fights in our next session, and we will stop here. So thank you very much. And we can take questions like for 5-10 minutes, but then I have to leave early today because I have a flight. So if anyone has any questions, corrections, comments, realizations, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, thank you so much for the very, very beautiful class. And thank you once again. I just have one question. I'm not able to get it. If it's in detail, then probably you can leave it, because I don't want to hold you on. So the question is that we know that Brahma has two pararthas that you said, that is the pratham and dvitiya. And our Brahma is now 51 years old. And our Brahma is 51 years old, right? In the Dvitiya Pararattha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that means our Brahma's life is still going on, right? And this lifetime only he fled, and for the meantime, Gopakumara became Brahma, or Gopakumara enjoyed Brahma being Brahma for full 100 years or a particular day? Is there anything mentioned?
No, nothing like that, Mataji. He was just in the post for a while. Yeah.
post for a while.
Yes.
But in this span of Brahma only, right? The present yes. Brahma.
Yes, 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 yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Just like Indra, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, just like Indra, when Indra fled, similar case.
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. It was very beautiful, especially when I was going through the various verses of Bhagavatam. This makes more, sorry, Brihad Bhagavatam, it makes more clear. So thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for always doing that. It really helps. When you go through the book, it's so nice, like when we study together, it's very nice.
Yeah,
the realization.
Request to me to, my humble request to each and every one of you, like when we go through even CC or Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if we just scroll the verses which are being, read those days, so then that makes more clear. Thank you so much, Priti Vilasa Mataji. Thank you, Shri Krishna Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Augusta Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji, as always. It's like, we feel like you keep listening, Mataji. It's very nice. Mataji, I have a question. Like, Brahma Ji touched that the foam of the water. So, what is that water? Where is it coming from?
Oh yeah, that water comes from the devastation of the three planetary systems at the end of the day of Brahma. That time there is devastation water that engulfs these three planetary systems. So there was some water that apparently splashed onto Satyaloka and there was some remaining foam. And he happened to touch that. And this foam embodies a demon, because of the sinful nature of foam here. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Shama Gauri Mataji. Thank you. Thank you for being there. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Gopi, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. When you are explaining Lila Mataji, there is so much potency. We are not qualified. We are not qualified to hear single words. That much fallen soul. But how nicely you narrating the Brihad Bhagavatam that we feel that, Lila. Thank you, Mataji. You have to live. We will ask questions. We all will ask questions next time. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. If you are going Sridham Vrindavanam, pray for all the Vaishnavis and Vaishnava. Hare Bol.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. I'm not going to Sridham Vrindavanam. I'm very fallen. I'm just going for some family related things. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini. You always end at the leaving us at a juncture that we're like, what? No, don't stop yet. So cliffhanger, as they say. So wonderful. I'm just so excited every time I know you're going to give class and we're going to read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I'm just so thankful that I am connected with Bhakti Japa Group, so I get so much nectar every day. I kind of joined late, unfortunately, so I'm going to go back and listen to the beginning. But the one thought that came in my mind was when Gopakumar as Brahma was fearing death, and then he was just chanting his mantra and that helped. And that suddenly dawned on me that I can do that too. Instead of meditating on death, because I don't know if anybody else, but I know I think about it too, and I'm always wondering, will I remember the Lord at that time? I'm thinking, I don't have to worry about it if I'm going to remember the Lord. I just have to chant my Mahamantra. Prabhupada has given us a lifeline. Just chant the Mahamantra. Don't worry about everything else. Mm-hmm. That's not in our hands. So thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for that. Very, very sweet. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Although I was late in connecting, but whatever I heard, just from this that Gopa Kumar is kind of afraid of when he heard about the after two paradas, Brahma's leave the body, the dies. So from there I heard.
Mm-hmm.
So very wonderful, very nice. You have explained and also gave the about this sinful activity of Indra.
Mm-hmm.
That he accrues the scene and then he divided all the scenes. Thank you very much. Going to Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and whatever. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. It's such a blessing to always hear from you. Thank you, Mataji.
Yes, I have to go and hear on YouTube. That's very good. Green. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Are you going to Vrindavan?
No, Mataji, I'm not going to Vrindavan. I just have to visit family. So.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
No, sir. Yeah.
For how long are you going?
Just the weekend, Mataji. I'm back on Sunday night.
Oh, okay. Last time you went for a long time, so that's why I was asking if you're going to be there.
I was in India, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasi Mataji. Do you have time for one more question or you are getting late?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just one more thing, I don't remember on top of my head, but there were four people, who took the curse of Indra. It's not related to the subject matter, but if you can explain. One was water, one is tree, one is ladies, and what's the fourth one, if you remember?
Earth. Earth has deserts. That was the sinful part of the earth.
Oh, okay, yeah. So the deserts personify that simple thing of it, right?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, so everybody took 1/4 of the share.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Kesida Mataji. Yes. Okay. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Preeti. Hare Krishna Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Dandat Pranam. Thank you so much for a wonderful session. It was so nice to see you on YouTube. Mataji, I do have two questions. One question. So how can we compare the planetary systems that you have mentioned here to the planet, like our planetary system, like our Milky Way, for instance?
That a comparison, Mataji, will be a big mess. The best thing is...
Okay,
to...
No. If it's different, we can take it offline. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because direct comparison to our present scientific knowledge that we have would be a big mess. We'll discuss this, how to go about it. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Thank you, Mataji. Sorry.
No problem. Because it's, you have to really unlearn a lot of what we have learned to really understand this. So it's a complicated subject, but we will discuss, Mataji. We both can discuss later. Thank you, Mataji.
Okay, Mataji.
Okay. So if there are no more questions, shall we end? And if you have any questions, we can even continue next week or whatever works, if that's okay. Again, thank you, everyone. So I'll take leave of you. And we'll again meet next week. If there are any questions you want to ask next week, also no problem. We'll continue from there. So I'll end now. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Sanatan Goswami. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare
Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.